Hello and welcome to Cozy Cryptid. I'm your host Tanner, and this week we're going south of the border to Mexico. We're going through the states of Mexico, and the first up is Aguascalientes. The Mexican state of Aguascalientes is home to many unusual and unexplained phenomena, from the capture of real-life fairies to the demonic horse-head woman who lures morally bankrupt men to their doom, to the vicious goat sucker Chupacabra. Join us as we start our descent journey to the lore and mystery of Mexico, starting with the unassuming state of Aguascalientes. What we got here? First up is Alien Savers. A team of paranormal experts in Mexico say that aliens attained the Hurricane Patricia. They claim that the strange appearance of alleged unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, hours before the entry of a powerful hurricane have been observed. According to experts, the alleged unidentified flying objects appeared on the shores of Manzanillo one day before the entrance to the powerful Hurricane Patricia. Considered by scientists as one of the most destructive phenomena in the history of mankind. In a video that was recorded on the 21st of October 2015, the cell phone, UFOs have been clustered in a group in the night sky. However, the existence of the unidentified craft has not been conclusively proven. Experts continue to examine the hey everybody, Sweet Tanner. Just let you know that I'm doing a giveaway. Here's what you gotta do. Go to twitch.tv/G1Tanner. First 50 followers will be entered in our raffle for a free piece of merch of your choice. I'll put the link down in the description so you can find it easier too. Thanks. Footage for signs of hoax or tampering. Well, let me click that link. No. The Aguascalientes Ferry. Like most good things coming from Mexico, the Mexican ferry has a bite and heat. No cuddly ferry with a kind heart and good intentions that populate children's stories. The Mexican fairy has a decidedly creepy aspect, one that is almost demonic, making the following tales even more terrifying. In the summer of 2011, Jose de Luis Malando, a 20-year-old resident of the Aguascalientes neighborhood of its capital city, was out picking guavas with his friend in a small wild grove of fruit trees near his home. From the corner of his eye, he saw a sparkle between two branches. Jose went closer to the source of the light and saw what appeared to be a small being that resembled a tiny humanoid. He grabbed it and took it back to his house. By the time he arrived home, the small creature had apparently died and was also missing a foot. He put it in a jar full of water and formaldehyde it to observe it. Jose showed it to his friends, and in a few days, people from all around the neighborhood began showing up at his door to see what he had dubbed his Hada Madrina, or fairy godmother. Lines began to form outside his door, and soon a carnival atmosphere developed, with people selling food like churros and gorditas and trinkets to those waiting outside. Jose began to charge admission, a few pesos per person to be given as a donation for 20 postage or a little over $1 US, one can take a photo of the ferry. Around 3,000 people showed up to the house over the course of a few weeks. So, what did this ferry look like? The creature stood about a centimeter and a half tall and was mostly red and white in color, with large wings. To some, it looked like a small action figure. To most people who viewed it, however, it was a real ferry and well worth the price of a few pesos to see. Some neighbors even claimed that the Jose had captured had been buzzing around the neighborhood for weeks. The commotion soon caught the interest of film crews and paranormal investigators. In an interview with Mexican television in his home, Jose recounted his tale and said that he would not let scientists touch the creature. Would he sell it? No, he told reporters. He planned to either leave it at the Santa Paula Cemetery in the heart of Guadalajara, or throw it off the Arsenio Bridge into the Lima River. The TV interviewers talked to members of the public in the crowd outside who had chipped in a few pesos and stood on line for an hour to see the alleged ferry. Not a single person interviewed believed that what they saw in Jose's home was a fabrication or hoax. When scrutiny became too intense, Jose announced the viewings of the ferry would cease. And so ended the Guadalajara's ferry story. This isn't the only such story in Mexico, however. Most cultures throughout the world have stories or folklore involving smaller, magical beings that live secretly among humans. The notion of a Tinkerbell-like fairy who flies around granting wishes and who serves as an unseen helper of people is deeply rooted in many Western European cultures, combining Celtic, Germanic, and Greco-Roman traditions. The smaller, more familiar type of fairy only first appeared in Victorian England after the 19th century. Most of all accounts and stories of supposed fairies included descriptions of miniature people with wings, much like the jarred little creature in the Colina, the capital city of Aguascalientes. For most of history in Western Europe, fairies were seen as somewhat malevolent and eager to play tricks on humans or cause general havoc. It was only during the Victorian England and after a market rise in literacy did fairy stories come out in print, and books appeared telling tales of the magical, helpful creatures we can easily recognize today. In the US, Disney ran with the idea of fairies and further developed the modern conception of these mythical creatures. Ancient Mexico has its own beliefs regarding unseen little people that closely approximate what many would consider members of a fairy race. Those ancient beliefs are still held by some people living in Mexico to this day. These creatures are called Aluxis and Junkies. On May 26, 2007, on a ranch outside the town of Metepec, in the central Mexican state of Hidalgo, a strange creature was captured in an animal trap. The following month, it was brought to the attention of the Mexican public by consummate paranormal investigator Jaime Musson, host of the television show Tessa Molino. A film crew went out to the Metepec ranch and then began the formal investigation. The creature was hunched over and measured about 8 inches long, had human features and characteristics, except for a long tail and sharp, angry-looking teeth. There was no evidence of wings, but people still thought it was a fairy of some other creature that has not yet been identified. The being dubbed by Jamie Wilson, the creature of Metepec, was poked and prodded, and its DNA was sent to various labs. During this investigation, something curious happened, which only adds to the bizarre nature of the story. The discoverer of this creature was found dead. His car was abandoned, and then his body was found a few days later burned, almost beyond recognition. Some allege that he was killed by other small, similar creatures that exacted revenge and were angry at the fact that one of their own had been killed by the animal trap. Others believe that the man was killed to cover up the real story behind this supposed fairy being. Five labs investigating the creature of Mepic came up with a different conclusion. One lab said that the son of DNA was human. Three of the five labs said their testing was inconclusive. One going so far as to say that DNA was from a yet unknown animal. The remaining lab came to a totally different conclusion. The DNA was found a small female Mexican monkey, a kind of spider monkey called a monotiti in Spanish. Many researchers contended that the DNA analysis was inconclusive in this case, because the creature had been handled so many times and the DNA was contaminated and untestable. The television show Tercermenino offered the owners of the alleged fairy 300,000 pesos to purchase it, but the owners declined. The body of the creature probably ended up going missing, and no further investigations on the strange fairy-like animal were conducted, leaving its true identity shrouded in mystery. But that isn't all, not by a long shot. Perhaps the most famous case of modern Mexican fairies was showcased on the television show Nuestra Dia, seen by millions of Mexicans on the now-defunct Cadiris television network. Based in Mexico City, Cadiris also had affiliates in three populous border towns, Ciudad Juárez, Mexicali, and Nogales. On the show, which aired on Friday, January 11th, 2013. Paranormal investigator Ana Luisa Cid brought out a cotton line box in the story about its context. The four hosts of the show, comfortable in a living room like feel of the studio, asked Ana Luisa Cid pointed questions of what they were about to see, and she was happy to tell the story. This fairy tale began sometime in the year 2010 in the state of Mexico, in a wooded area near the municipality of Tultitlan. A hearing impaired boy was wandering the woods when his hearing aid began to act up. There was some kind of static, and the boy heard voices of children. He followed the road to try to find out where the voices were coming from, and the boy soon found himself in a part of the forest that had been recently scorched by a forest fire. Among the charred remains of the trees and underbrush, the boy found two small bodies. Thinking they were rare animals, he took them home. About a year and a half later, the boy's family contacted Ana Luisa Cid to have the creatures investigated. Cid enlisted the help of the biologist Dr. Enrique Ortiz Corleone of SOS Health Laboratory, SOS Health Laboratory, who started the examination in the boy's home. Dr. Ortiz then took samples and later put the creatures through a series of tests in his lab, notably radiographs, x-rays, magnetic resonance, and pathological analysis. After giving sufficient background, Ana Luisa Cid removed the lid on the box she brought to the show and revealed what she had been talking about. Inside the box was what appeared to be the charred or mummified remains of a small humanoid with two sets of wings and characteristics that features that were remarkably human. The two sets of wings included an upper set of larger wings, like those of a bat, and a secondary set of wings much like those found on a beetle. The facial features of the creature look like that of a person, except the ears were higher in the head, and the mouth had sharp teeth. Sid theorized that the bear was a carnivore and had teeth like that to eat insects and the flesh of small animals. The creature had thin, extended legs. It was unclear whether this fairy was male or female. Host and Annalisa Sid began to theorize what exactly they were looking at. Sid explained that the x-rays revealed that the creature was one piece and wasn't made of parts of other animals and insects cobbled together to make a new creature. The x-rays showed bones and that the wings were reinforced by cartilage. Tests showed that the fairy was definitely organic. The family enlisted the help of the investigators at UCLA, which is the University of California, Los Angeles, but researchers at the university wanted to cut apart the berries and destroy them, so the family has said no to this more invasive analysis. Ana Luisa Sid also enlisted the help of a man named Antonio Vasquez Alba, known as El Brujo Mayor, or the Head Warlock in English. A researcher of paranormal phenomena in other dimensions. When Vasquez approached the creature, he had sensed brain activity in one of them. As self-proclaimed vibrations specialist, he said he could sense a high intelligence in the creature. That it was a real thinking being. Rather than going down the ancestral route, Alberto Mayer sensed that the berries were extra dimensional. It came from another dimension. At the end of the Nostradia show, which is one of the most popular episodes in the brief history of the program, Sid announced a viewing of the creature at a small rental hall in the Colonial Roma area, Mexico City. The following day, admission for children was 100 pesos and for adults 200 pesos. After his public viewing in January of 2013, nothing more was heard of these fairies, and the phenomenon just seemed to end. Given the rarity of fairy sightings in Mexico and the disparities of most of the evidence surrounding cases of fairies, one might want to think seriously about whether or not they're all just poorly conducted hoaxes on a gullible Mexican public, or maybe not. You decide.
Hey guys, this is Heather and Kristen, the hosts of Sinister Sweethearts podcast, and we want to share with you a little bit about our show.
If you're looking for fun banter between old college sweetmates about all things paranormal, sinister, weird, and generally creepy, check out our podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player.
Are you looking for a new adventure? Did you ever want to visit the city where all your nightmares reside? Well, you're in luck. Join us, your tour guides, Christine and Jen, to visit Nopeville, where you will be personally escorted on an all-inclusive trip through the city and see all possibilities of terror and fright.
You'll see all sorts of things on your tours, including, but definitely not limited to, the paranormal, true crime, the supernatural, and more. If you're into all that and enjoy a little dark humor, book your tour today and nope right along with us. Check us out on our website at nopevillepodcast.com to see where you can listen to Nopeville today.
The Horsewoman of Aguascalientes. In Mexico, the legend of the Cinquanaba is presented in almost the entire country, mostly through Mesoamerica, where they call her Maquiatl, Matosua, Estebe, Zitba, or preferably Horseface Woman. There are multiple testimonies and stories about this horror. They all have in common that they can only be seen at night, on lonely roads, desolate places. Being known as the Night Owlman, partiers, womanizers, or drunkards, or all of the above. She shows herself as a woman with an attractive body, very well formed, always presenting her back or seen walking away. Her face completely covered by either her hair or a large veil. Invariably, the victims feel fascinated and attracted to the beautiful woman, whom she decides to follow or approach, filling her with compliments and insinuations of all kinds. She always ignores and tries to hide her face even more, which always provokes the victim's assistance, until she turns his way, giving him the fright of his life. So the woman has a horse head and red eyes. Sometimes she utters phrases like, "Do I still look beautiful to you?" or "I also like you a lot." The victim screams in terror and flees from there as fast as his legs allow. Now, without the effects of alcohol, and swears never to drink again. Although these are cases in which the victim is touched and dies shortly thereafter, despite attempts by the family to cure him of dread, it is not like the famous weeping woman causes terror to whoever has the misfortune to meet her or hear her famous scream, regardless of gender, age, or any other characteristics. It should be mentioned that sometimes her head varies. Not only can it be that of a horse, but it can also be that of a dog, a pig, an old woman's face, a skull, or a disfigured and bloody face. Likewise, the horse's head also varies. It can be that of a common horse, a horse skull. It can be putrefied. It can be a face with rotten meat, or a horse face with hanging, rotten skin. In the state of Nawit, there is a version similar to the Sobrovan version. According to the Nawit version, it was a woman or moon goddess who was the wife of god Taduk, with whom she had a son, who treated her badly, abandoned her, and was unfaithful to her, who, after discovering his bad actions, he cursed her, calling her Siwa Nahaba, which means horrible woman. Being condemned to wander the countryside, appearing to men as a beautiful woman, and by the time they got close, she revealed a hideous horse face. She has always been seen more frequently on roads, rivers, fields, and other rural areas. Its victims are mainly infidels, whom it tracks to drive them crazy or kill them. The state of Kordia, the city of Torion, this terrible specter that frightens men could actually be a woman who receives a curse or was the victim of witchcraft, black magic, or satanic ritual. So it would be an evil or demonic entity seeking revenge. They appear to be too lustful, womanizing men. Another version tells that this was a beautiful young woman who received a curse, turning her into this being. Condemned to be with her woman's body and horse's head, the young woman would be normal, but when they approached her, her face would become that of a horse, and everyone would run away from fright, so she would never find true love and be alone forever. In the city of Nuevo León, they say that he is seen on the roads at night in search of punishing machistas, gangsters, womanizers, or any man who goes astray to kill him. It is also said to cause accidents. In the state of Puebla, it is known as the Andalana, where it is described as a spectrum that has multiple forms. He is said to seduce men who roam the mountains in order to drive them mad or kill them. Some say he dresses in white. She dresses in white, as chicken feet floats in the air. The city of Guadalajara is known as the Chacantica, where it is said to be the fruit of a relationship between a common woman and a Chaki. She was given the opportunity to get to know the outside world. Like her father, she was very much in love with the man, but the man rejected her. For that reason, she had to take revenge on men by seducing them and killing them. On Oaxaca, where she is known as the Mathusa or Baduala, she is associated with Zapotec, deity of death, formerly known as Mutkatukatl. According to the old belief, this was the one that reigned and was in charge of collecting the souls of the deceased to take them to the underworld. It was the husband of Mithkutili, the Lord of the Dead. It is also believed to be the soul and pain of a woman who is cruel and murderous and wanders in this world by way of punishment. This specter is said to punish people's wrongdoings or sins, but is generally pierced to men who be drunkards, womanizers, partygoers, those who abandon their family. She appears to them as a beautiful woman, a mixed race, draws them towards a ravine, and when they approach her, she feels her horse face, or human skull. According to other versions, although most of them at times she is never seen face, which causes the man to fall into a ravine, leaving them to suicide into the thorns, so they call bleed to death. Although there are times when the victim survives, waking up in the thorns, in pain, and without remembering anything that happened. Other versions say that the Mathusa bathes or combs in the rivers of Oaxaca, and whoever invades their space, takes her comb, suffers the consequences. In other versions, like the Guatemalan and Nicaraguan versions, it is stated that she is not a single being, but there are several that even cooperate with each other to scare the victims, communicate with each other with whistles, or leave the men stunned but alive. In the state of Durango, it is better known as the Cabalona, where it will also appear to men with sinful behavior. Here it devours or warns them. In the state of Jalisco, she is generally described as a woman dressed entirely in black, and she appears to lovers and drunkards. In the state of Aguascalientes, especially in the city of Cabil, it is believed that the horse-faced woman was a beautiful woman who was unfaithful to him with many suitors, or with her lover, according to other versions. But one day, the husband discovered her doing one of her infidelities with her lover, who, in incredibly state of jealousy, killed her lover. In the meantime, he tied his hands with a rope, and holding her by the rope, tied her hands with a rope, and holding her by the rope, and made to run beside the horse. This caused the woman to be seriously injured, and her face was disfigured, which looked like a horse. The injuries were so severe that she ended up dying. Since then, it's said that at night, an attractive woman kept seen walking mischievous men with bad behavior, especially unfaithful men, as punishment. So later revealed that she has a horse's face. In town square, there's a monument of the horse-faced woman, of which many of the inhabitants do not know the legend and its origin. In the southeast of the Republic, they call it the Zdebe or Zdeba, which is, according to main legend, an evil spirit that lives in the Zdeba trees and seduces anyone who comes near some of these trees. This was the main goddess, dominated as a Zdeba, who's the goddess of the hanged. The latter rewarded suicides with heaven, but the arrival of Christianity, she is now the punisher and demon woman who scares the men. A second version tells that this was a land princess named Sulue, daughter of Governor Halak Munyik, who had fallen in love with a young warrior, and they saw each other in the Simba tree. It was seen by the granddaughter of a witch, whose spell killed her mainly. Then they left the body in the bush. Although there are other versions that they say that the warrior was assistant to the witch to help her kill Sulawe. Well, whatever its origins of Zetabe, it is said that it is a woman who appears in the sable tree. Finding her long black hair, waiting for a man to approach her and start seducing him, to later reveal her true identity. Demonic looking and faced with horse features. Disfigured face or a pale woman's face with yellow eyes and snake tongue, according to other versions. Sometimes she lets them go, which drives them crazy, or at other times, they die of fright. Following is a Chiapas version, the state of Chiapas, and this last version is known as the No Yomo, Tisigua, or Tisinia. In some regions or places, it is considered as an evil spirit, others as a benign spirit. It is said that she is the wife of the Sombrio. It is said that she appears to men who are unfaithful. She bathes in lakes and other bodies of water. And when they approach, she reveals a demonized horse face or disfigured face, according to the best known versions, that kills them. Many of the unfortunate ones have seen it change forever. Many of their relatives know that they no longer eat and see that in the corner they are seen sitting or standing waiting for the Tisuga or Tisinila to return. In other regions of Chiapas, it is said that Guanaba may appear on the road asking motorcyclists for a ride, and after a while of walking, it transforms into a monster with the head of a horse. In other regions, it is known like the Yagula Juta, who, like the Mayan oxen versions, the witch's men with their beautiful body. She also leads them to a ravine and then begins to throw them off the cliff by causing them to fall down the ravine, leading them to suicide. It is said that they see that the woman floating through the air, but do not give so much importance to wanting to reach her. In addition, some also sign that she's accompanied by the Cadillo, and together they charge a punching man of ill repute into living a better life. Whatever version you believe, beware when out traveling alone in rural areas where you might lead or might be forced or faced with the dreaded horsewoman of Mexico. The Chupacabra.
Hey everyone, you're invited to Harpy Hour!
I'm Tracy.
I'm Liz.
I'm Steph.
We are the Harpies, and Harpy Hour is our new podcast featuring ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment.
Were you ever suspicious that pigeons were secretly spying on you? How do you know who to eat first if you survive a shipwreck?
Do problematic musicals send you into an uncontrollable rage?
If so, then Harpy Hour might be your new favorite podcast. That's H-A-R-P-Y for Harpy, and new episodes air every Tuesday wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can also find us on all social media at Harpy Hour Pod.
And check us out on HarpyHourPodcast.com.
Okay, bye!
It wouldn't be a complete episode about Mexican cryptids without mentioning the Chupacabra, which has been cited more often in recent months, leading to renewed interest in the little sucker, ghost sucker, that is. Chupacabra in the Mexican popular legend is a monstrous creature that attacks animals and feeds on their blood. The name is derived from the Spanish words chupar, which means to suck, and cabra, which means goat. It can be translated as goat sucker. The chupacabra has been characterized as a southern equivalent of a Sasquatch. But unlike its comparatively gentle northern cryptid neighbor, the chupacabra has a reputation for mayhem and death. Chupacabras were first reported in 1995 in Puerto Rico, where they were blamed for attacks on goats, sheep, and other domestic animals, supposedly living uneaten carcasses that are drained of blood, in addition to the two telltale holes in the side of an animal's neck. Early reports described a creature that stood upright and resembled a large reptilian kangaroo with huge red eyes. No actual specimens were found. Discussions suggested that the witnesses may have been influenced by the Hollywood science fiction horror film Species, released in 1995. Which is, by the way, a great movie. I love that movie, Species. Sequel's really good, too. Which features a monster of similar appearance, but other sightings were reported throughout the Americas, as far north as the United States. A different type of chupacabra was also reported in many of the same places. These chupacabras were smaller and stood upon 4 feet. They were generally canine in appearance, but hairless. Theories about the chupacabra's origin are as varied as the sightings themselves. The most popular explanation is that the product of a top-secret U.S. government genetics experiment in the rainforest of Puerto Rico. Some suggest that it's an extraterrestrial being brought to Earth on spaceships. Still, others suggest that this mysterious creature is part of some sinister biological warfare program, or the embodiment of God's wrath. Artistic renderings often depict it as having blue, huge skin, a forked tongue, claws, red eyes, protruding fangs, and a spiky patch of hair running down its back. The chupacabra had a heyday of about 5 years between 1995 and 2000, when it was widely reported in Puerto Rico, Mexico, Chile, Nicaragua, Argentina, and Florida, among other places, almost all of them in Spanish-speaking areas. After the year 2000, a strange thing happened. Sightings of the weird, alien, bipedal, spiky-backed chupacabra faded away. Instead, the Hispanic vampire took a very different form. A canine animal resembling hairless dogs or coyotes, mostly found in Texas and America, in the American Southwest. This was an important turning point because suddenly researchers had an animal carcass to scientifically examine. Sorry. Dead chupacabras were submitted to the DNA test, and in every instance, the body had been identified as a coyote, a dog, a raccoon, or other common mammal. Originally stricken with a parasitic mange infection that caused the animal to lose its fur, take on a gaunt, monstrous appearance. Though the animal left behind as victims to chupacabra were rarely reported to be drained of blood, this is a myth. Suspected chupacabra victims have been virtually autopsied, and rarely they are revealed to contain plenty of blood. So what attacked the animals, if not the dreaded chupacabra? Sometimes the simplest answer is the correct one. Ordinary animals, mostly dogs and coyotes. These animals essentially go for a victim's neck, and their canines' teeth leave puncture wounds that resemble vampire marks. Though many people assume that dogs and coyotes would eat or tear up the animals they attack, wildlife predation experts know this is too a myth. Often they would simply bite the victim's neck and leave it to die. Phyllis Kahn holds the head of what she called a chupacabra at her home in Cairo, Texas. On Friday, August 31st, 2007, she found a strange-looking animal dead outside her ranch and thinks it's responsible for killing many of their chickens. But to her disappointment, it was also in. The ugly, big-eared animal found is not the mythical blood-sucking chupacabra. It is just a plain old coyote. Though the canine chupacabras were identified, the questions remained. What happened to the original chupacabra? Why did it suddenly appear in August 1995 and vanished only a few short years. As reported in the press, it turned out the chupacabra could be traced back to a single original eyewitness, a Puerto Rican woman named Madeline Tolentino, whose sighting became the basis for all other accounts of the creature. She offered a detailed description of the chupacabra: bipedal, dark eyes, long limbs, and spikes along its back that did not match any known animal, if it was real. However, Tolentino's chupacabra was nearly identical to an alien monster in the science fiction horror film Species. These similarities were too great to be coincidence. She had not recently seen the film, but stated in interviews that the movie monster looked like the chupacabra, with spines on its back, and all resemblance of the chupacabra was really impressive. She was the first person to report seeing the chupacabra, and her report was very influential, appearing not only on the front pages of the local newspaper, but all over the internet. Soon, other eyewitnesses repeated and exaggerated her description. But it's clear that what she described came from a movie, not real life. Though there's little mystery left from a scientific point of view. The ghost-sucking monster will continue to be reported whether the creature exists or not, simply because the public has come to call any strange unknown creature a chupacabra. Alright, everybody, that's been Cozy Cryptid. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope to see you next week. Remember, stay cozy.
Well, now that you know where you never should roam, sleep safely, but keep one eye open in case they still follow you home.
Hello everyone, just want to let you know that you can save 25% off your order by using the promo code COZY on checkout on the merch store. Also, thank you for listening to this episode of the Cozy Cryptid.